It's a privilege to be here. I met your pastor. Last year he preached, or 2 years ago, or something like that, preached at our church up in Nashville, and had the privilege to preach with him at Brother Dominguez's 10-year anniversary this last year, and gleaned as much as I possibly could, because I believe he's a man with experience, he's a man with a great reputation, and he's a man I'd love to sit at his feet for a great length of time. So, I don't know almost all of you. I think I know three people here. And they took my wife away. That would have been four. So, you know, to me walking in here, and I've been in the ministry for all these years, and I don't know any of you. And that says something to me. That I only thought people in Tennessee were saved. Amen? It's good to see there's people in Jacksonville, Florida that are saved. But you know, when you walk into a crowd like this, it's a little intimidating. You know, it's kind of like standing in front of an elevator and it opens up and there's 15 people in there all staring there looking at you. But it's a blessing to be here because I know one thing. Even though I don't know you, we all have the same daddy. So you're just brothers and sisters that I haven't met yet. But we're in the same family. This is supposed to be a message about the Word of God. Nothing more precious in the whole world. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Psalm chapter 119. If any of you are ever up in the White House, Nashville, Tennessee area, my son has taken over the church after 22 years of me pastoring it. And he has taken it over now, and we would love to have you visit. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, after I first got saved, someone showed me this verse. And I didn't really know what to make of it. Because being an ex-Catholic, I had a problem with the fact that it was written by somebody that was called a nun. So I was raised Roman Catholic, Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school. I was an altar boy, and I drank the holy wine and all the rest of that stuff. So when I saw this, I said, really? Honestly, the Word of God can be a lamp unto our path no matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, no matter what decision we have to make. It covers the whole gamut. And I was thankful for people that discipled me in the Lord that said yes. For every situation in life. Yeah, does it cover, you know, the pedophile, and does it cover this, and does it cover everything? You know, yes, it does. The precepts in the Word of God cover all those gray areas. So it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's a light that shineth in a dark place. And you know the biggest enemy to the Word of God? Us. It's our opinions. It's our opinions that end up being the biggest enemy to the Word of God. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. Now, because I'm from upstate New York and we have a limited amount of time, I'm going to put the turbo talk back on so that we can get through this thing in a right amount of time. And be respectful of the fact that he's asked me to preach for 2 hours. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hey, at 62, the memory starts to fade, conveniently. Acts chapter 27, look with me if you would at verse 9. "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. It's not that Paul was not believed. It's just that the master was believed more. The master and the owner was believed more. Point number one, I'm a teaching preacher as well. Point number one, the master's opinion, which is based on capability. The master's opinion is based on capability. And that's oftentimes we look to the master's opinion, those that we consider to be masters, rather than putting our faith and trust in the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's not that you don't believe the book. It's just that you believe brother so-and-so a little bit more than the book. Dr. Hackenbush and Professor Humpty Nobrainsky. They have more letters after their name. And so we have to believe them more. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Job, it says we're not to accept any man's person and give flattering titles. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. Do we give flattering titles? Do we put more credence in the masters of independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches than we do the Word of God? You have to be honest with yourself. I respect this man incredibly. I want to get closer and closer and closer and closer to him. But I better have a discerning spirit that if this man ever leads me in a direction contrary to this book, I jump back to the book and I say, brother, God bless you, but you better follow me and follow this book at the same time. And he would be the first one to say that today. But you know, each and every one of us could be in that boat. If we're not following the Word of God and the lamp that's unto our path and unto our feet, who knows where we could be? Do you realize if you're only one degree off in 10 years, how far away from you've gotten from the point you're supposed to be? It only takes one degree. Paul was not impressed with men's titles or reputations. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. You know, why do we get caught up in that, Christian? Who would you give more credence to for family issues? Dr. James Dobson or the King James Bible? Who would you give more credence to for marital issues? Dr. Gary Smalley or the King James Bible? Who would you give more credence to for musical issues? Dr. Frank Garlock or the King James Bible? Asa trusted the doctors more than God. Saul trusted a witch more than God. Who is it you're giving credence to today? You know, Miss Jenny and I are constantly watching our weight go up. And and I was talking to your pastor, and he's keto, Dr. Keto, and I think it's wonderful. But do you ever notice how many different opinions there are to staying in shape? And this guy says, do this, do this, do this. And this guy says, never do that, never do that. Do this, do this, do this. Who in the world? Who do I trust? Because there's so many masters out there. And everybody will give you their opinion. Because an opinion is like a nose, right? Everybody has one. Some are uglier than others. I'm Italian, I know. Don't say a word. Leave it alone. But you know, we'd always like to get someone else's opinion. I remember after I first got saved in Baltimore, Maryland. And I had just gotten saved. And I was hungry. Give me more, give me more. And I was talking to my wife. She was the one that was instrumental in leading me to the Lord. Give me more, give me more. And so one day I was in the shower, and she was in the kitchen. We had been talking, and I was thinking, honey, that tithe thing that you're talking about, is that the net or the gross? And I heard this still small voice say, gross! And I said, sure is! But you know what? She took the book and she showed me about the first fruits. And it, you know, all you have to do is take someone back to the book. We don't need some financial wizard. We don't need Dave Ramsey to tell us how to spend our money. We don't need Dave Ramsey to tell me how to budget. The Bible is sufficient for it. Amen. All we have to do is read it. But we become like babies where we want it spoon-fed to us. Pre-digestible stuff. Ah! Like a baby bird. What's wrong with us actually chewing on something? You know what that does? It produces the enzymes that you need to digest. But all this pre-digested stuff, I'm going to listen to this guy's sermon and this guy's sermon. Not to say sermons are bad. What's wrong with this? Amen. Do some chewing. Amen. The Bible says that in the end times, 2 Timothy 4, that people will heap to themselves teachers. Having itching ears, teachers, plural. I'll take you for marital counseling. I'll take you for finance, child rearing. I'll take you, and we heap to ourselves teachers. Because we get impressed with the credentials. Is there anything in this world with better credentials than this? You know, seriously, we talk about based on capability. Rick Warren says this, Joel Osteen says this, Pope Francis says this, and, you know, and all of a sudden people stop. It's like, you know, E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. You know, when God speaks, His people should listen. This conference is about the Word of God. How precious is this? Has this become your coffee holder on your end table? How often on a Sunday morning do you end up having to look for your Bible? Where do you put it, honey? Oh, well, sweetheart, you know me. I took it and I buried it in the backyard. You know, everyone has a doctrine. The question is, how sound is it? And that Bible right there is where you're going to find out whether or not it's sound enough for you to stand upon. Second point, look at verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart. Thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. Point number two is the majority's opinion. It's based on commonality. The more people that agree with me, it's got to be right. It says, the more part advised to depart. Okay, man, let's take a vote. You know how often the King James Bible will come in the minority and will not be part of popular opinion? Because what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. Majority rules. The minority could not possibly be right. Because if the minority was right, it would be the majority. Or so we think. Whether it be elections or what, no matter what it is. I mean, it could be, you could have a church of five people and think you're failing miserably because Brother Joe down the road, he's got 200 people. And you're failing miserably because you only have five. But if you're exactly where God wants you, doing exactly what God wants you to do, you have not failed miserably. And you have no idea what's going on in Brother Joe's life. The majority of Christianity would agree with Rick Warren and Joel Osteen. The majority of Christianity would never exercise church discipline or submit to biblical standards. The majority of Christianity would never sit and listen to real preaching week in and week out. The majority of Christians would never have endured this for more than one session. And you know, and the sad thing is, even after all the protesting and everything that was going on in this country, even after, you know, when Donald Trump was first elected and all the protests going on, they would interview people and ask them, why are you out here? Nobody knew. Well, I'm with them. Look at them. They're all marching and walking, and I'm walking with them. Why? Ask them. How much credence we give to things just because the majority agrees with it. Are you willing to take a stand even if it might mean standing apart? You know, the Bible says in Acts 19, the assembly was confused and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. What are we doing here? I hope you know why you're here. I hope the reason you're here is the reason God wanted you here. Not to see your buddies, although that's a nice side amenity, but to hear the preaching of the Word of God. To be edified under the perfecting of the saints. You know, we know what happened back in the Old Testament with Micaiah and Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and I've got 400 men here that agree with me. And Jehoshaphat says, you have anyone else? You have 400? That's pretty good. You got anyone else? Ah, yeah, I got this one guy. Ugh, talk about a thorn in my flesh. I got this one guy called Micaiah, but he never says anything good about me. Jehoshaphat had enough horse sense to say, bring him in. And obviously Micaiah said, yeah, go ahead. Go, do what the 400 say. But you're going to die. You're going to die. You know, that cost Micaiah to take that stand in front of 400 experts, the vast majority, 400 to 1. Man, those odds are not good. Don't go to Vegas 400 to 1. Amen? Don't go to Vegas, period. But, you know, Ahab said it best when he says, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. Because the third point today is the fact that my opinion is based on conditions. Point number three. Look at our text, Acts chapter 27, verse 13. And when the soft south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Point number three is my opinion. Conditions are favorable. It's looking good. Yeah. A clear sunny day, God has definitely blessed me. Yes. A rainy day, oh, God's upset. The devil's after me. And all the things that we say are going on, we get a promotion. Praise God. God blessed me. How do you know? It keeps you out of church? Makes you travel the countryside, be with your family all the time? How do you know God blessed you? Did you not know that Satan is the God of this world? And as it says in Luke 4, and he offered Jesus all of this if you just bow down and worship me. Hey, he can bless too. And he can curse. And guess what? God can bless too. And God can curse. That's why it says in Hebrews 5 that you're to have a discerning spirit so that you can know what is right and what is wrong. Just because of the conditions, just because the wind blew softly. I'm so tired of Christians that suppose if there's an increase that the wind blew softly. And it's God's blessing. Most churches blow a softer wind than most Bible-believing churches. And I can guarantee you, God's not in that. Now, it doesn't mean that if you talk softly, God can't be in that. And it doesn't mean that if you talk like that, that God's necessarily in that. You better make sure that whatever's being said, whether it be loud, or whether it be soft, that God's in it. Abraham prospered physically while in Egypt. Lot prospered while in Sodom. God was nowhere in either of them. You know, God didn't talk to Abraham at all while in Egypt. Not until he returned to his Bethel did God talk to him. He prospered, though. Came out richer. Oh, man, God blessed him. God didn't bless him. All he did was pick up baggage that was going to be a burden to him then, henceforth. And Lot, sitting in the gates, he was an elder in the city. God blessed me. He promoted me. I'm an elder in this city. God didn't bless him. God had enough mercy on him. And for Abraham's sake, went in, sent some angels in there, grabbed him by the hand. And Lot had put so much of that filth into his wife couldn't even keep looking forward to go to where they were supposed to be. She had to look back. Because that's where her heart was. Yeah. Based on the conditions. If people don't approve of you, God must not approve of you. Tell that to Paul the Apostle. You know, my Bible says that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. That's what Paul said. I've had a bunch of people not like me. I've had a bunch of people turn away from me and say all manner of wicked things about me. But I've never had a whole continent not like me. Paul takes the cake, man. All Asia. All Asia. If a church increases in membership, God is pleased. If it decreases in membership, God is displeased. But yet, the Bible tells us that God sometimes will purge. But we base our decisions and based on our sight and the things that we see. Because increase equals God and decrease equals devil. And that's what we think. But yet we know in the scriptures it says that no man stood with me, but all forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Are you willing to preach in your churches? Should every member of your church lead if that's where God has called you to preach? Including your wife and children. If that's where God wants you to be. If you're sure that that's where God wants you to be. We can't base our decisions. Folks, lean not unto your own understanding. In some of thy ways, acknowledge. Acknowledge the majority. Acknowledge the masters. Acknowledge my own opinion.
Amen.
In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He might direct. I've got it all wrong, don't I? I got messed up with that nun thing, so forgive me. Amen? Oh, boy. So, you know why I moved to Tennessee? Because when I was up in New York one day, I went outside and I looked up in the sky and I saw a cloud in the shape of Tennessee and I knew it was God's will for me to move to Tennessee. Yeah. Yep. So, what's wrong with that? Can't God make clouds the way He wants to? Yes, He can, dummy. But He doesn't speak in clouds. He has given us His Word. Verse 14 of our text, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. These are the very same people that supposed that they had obtained their purpose. But now, because conditions changed, all hope was gone. And we can end up in that very same boat. When we place our faith and trust in the conditions around us. Conditions change. Somewhere in the Bible I read that He reigns on the just and the unjust. How do you take that? God can do whatever God wants to do. And He has given us a Holy Spirit to be able to discern what He's doing. And a Word. And that Holy Spirit is an interpreter. Teaches us this Word so that we can know. I mean, do you remember reading this book when you were lost? I mean, I remember opening this book when I was lost and I go, what in the world? What is it trying to say? I mean, just say it. I'm an engineer, a mechanical engineer by trade. I mean, facts. Give me the facts. I mean, just say it. Give me the facts. I couldn't understand this thing for the life of me. Until somebody turned on the light.
Amen.
And I saw what He was trying to say. And it made sense to me as He opened my understanding. We cannot afford to look to the masters. We cannot afford to look to the majority. And we cannot afford to look to my opinion. We need the Word of God. Because otherwise, I think disco should be the music that's played in the church. Seriously. You want to draw a crowd? Disco's the way to go. Yeah, I'm giving my age away, aren't I? Some of these young people don't even know what the word means. You mean disco's here and disco's there and... Yeah, the Bible says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. Remember with Paul, when he ended up on that island and he got bit by a viper? Remember? That great story? When he first got there, they thought he was a murderer. Then he gets bit by a viper and they think he's a god. And all, why? Circumstances. Things changed. We cannot walk by sight. We must walk by faith, Christian. And as the days grow darker, you've got to grow brighter. And the only way that's going to happen is an infusion of the Word of God into our lives. I'm getting ready to finish here, I think. I preached a message a long time ago entitled Falling Apart at the Seams. Seams spelled S-E-E-M-S. Because so many things, we say it's one way because how it seems to us. Christian, let's get back to walking by faith in the Word of God. The last point, Acts chapter 27 and in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me. Right. I'm not going to base it on the master. I'm not going to base it on the majority. I'm not going to base it on me. I'm going to base it on my majesty. And that's based on certainty. Certainty. All the promises of God you can count on. All the promises of God you can stand upon. Certainty. Are they promises to you? Do you believe them? You know the bumper sticker that used to be out? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You believe in it has nothing to do with it. God said it, That settles it. Do you believe it even as it was told, or do you have to dabble with it in order to interpret it? Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible, Psalm chapter 119, and we'll wrap this up. I'm definitely getting older, brother. I used to be able to hit the pulpit. Now I hit it and I break blood vessels. Psalm chapter 119. Look with me, if you would, at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart, be merciful unto me according to thy word. Verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Verse 76, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Verse 170, let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. Is it any wonder that the man that wrote Psalm 119 was a man after God's own heart? He loved the word of God. But more so than love, he trusted it. He trusted it. He trusted it whether to go into battle or not go into battle. What to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. Did he fail? Sure, he failed. But you want to know one thing about David? He didn't stay down. He got up. A just man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. That's what I like. You know, it should say a just man never falls. Because that's the definition of a just man. He never falls. No, the Bible says the just man falls 7 times. His justness isn't because he never falls. His justness is because he gets back up. Amen. We're all going to fall. We're all flesh. We're all carnal. We try on a daily basis to suppress that. But we're going to fall. And if we're there for one another, man, so much easier to do it with an open hand than with a clenched fist and a pointed finger. We need each other. We need each other. I need you. I need all you people that I don't know. I do. I just met a bunch of people in my family. Italians have big families. I hope you like pasta. We base our judgments on capability, commonality, and conditions, and not certainty. Certainty. Thy word is truth. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Thank you, Bible Believers Baptist Church, for your hospitality. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you, Pastor Peacock, the privilege to be able to preach in your pulpit and to consider you my friend.